You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA.
Hello and welcome to an emergency edition of the Fabulous Peloton Cast. We had to call this even after recording last night because of the breaking news this morning that Steve Sarkisian is leaving the University of Washington to take the job as the head football coach at USC. So we're joined by special guest Chris Smith.
Yo.
And I'm your co-host, Kevin Dalton.
Yeah, we're here, and I'm Tristan Carcino. We're here tailgating for the Seahawks-Saints game.
Kind of put a damper on things a little bit.
I think it's actually kind of exciting. And Chris is here tailgating with us, and we figured we'd get in a special one-off Coach Sarkcast.
So what's the first reaction to the news?
Jim Mora.
Woo! That's my first reaction also.
I mean, are people surprised by this? I mean, It built this morning, but, you know, I wrote about this on the blog already, but I went for a jog and Sark was the coach and it seemed like, you know, oh, maybe something might happen in a couple of days. And then I come back and immediately the first thing I see on Twitter is people speculating about replacements. So that was fast.
It happened so abruptly where I read this morning that he'd interviewed with USC and then I guess he denied interviewing.
Yeah, he said he talked to them, but did not interview.
Yeah, that was on KJR day, you know, this morning at, I think, a little before 7 a.m. So, maybe he conducted the interview between 7 a.m. and 11 a.m. and agreed to the job. That seems unlikely, though.
Well, I got the feeling after reading that, when the report was that Chris Peterson had basically turned down the job at USC, and that they're also interviewing James Franklin from Vanderbilt, and that Coach Sark was the option, it felt pretty clear that if it was James Franklin and Steve Sarkisian, that it was going to be Coach Sark in that situation. And I kind of got the feeling throughout the day, throughout the morning when people were talking about it, I was like, Coach Sark is gone. I told that to you. And then he was gone.
I mean, I'm not surprised that he wanted to go. I think that all of us knew all along that this was Sark's dream job, USC. He was obsessed with beating them when he was here, possibly to the detriment of the team playing other games. And so from that standpoint, it's not surprising. But I think the reaction that we've seen on Twitter, you know, oh, the you know, USC just hired a guy who won his best conference season, was winning less games than Ed Orgeron won his interim head coach this year. I mean, I think all of that is why it's surprising for me that this was USC's best option.
Yeah, that really surprised me. I was not expecting. I mean, a week ago, I really wasn't thinking that Coach Sark was a threat for this job, especially after the Huskies kind of went, not into a downward spiral, but they didn't close the season in that impressive of a way.
Well, yeah, at halftime of the Apple Cup, when the Huskies were trailing 10-3, will Sark take the USC job really was not foremost on my mind. It was, will he get fired tomorrow morning?
Yeah, That was a bigger concern. But I wanted to say, are you mad at Coach Sark for taking this job?
I'm not at all. Really. I mean,
everybody has a dream job.
Yeah, you can't blame someone for... If you get offered your dream job and you turn it down, I mean, how big of an idiot are you?
I feel the same way. I don't know.
I think it's more about the manner in which it happened. The fact that the players all found out about it on Twitter before this scheduled 2 o'clock team meeting. The fact that he denied it this morning, I just don't know what you gained from, like, delaying it for 3 hours. Why say anything at all?
They're just things that happen when coaches take jobs. Like, that happens a lot. I don't think you can necessarily blame Sark for that. And I definitely can't blame him for taking the job either.
What's just weird with college football is that happens every year. It's like he still has to coach a bowl game. And, like, why are they always, like, they no one can wait another month to hire a coach and not interfere with another team's, like...
Yeah, that's the issue with signing day also. You were saying, we were talking about Jack Del Rio, which Jack Del Rio could have been a very good USC coaching option, but they would have to wait for him throughout the Denver playoffs, potentially till February, you know?
Yeah.
And so what do they have 2 weeks before signing day with Jack Del Rio as their head coach?
I mean, you might be able to make that announcement during the period 2 weeks between the AFC Championship game and the Super Bowl, and
they
got that far, but yeah,
obviously you're going to be recruits.
You're going to be divided.
And so they're always trying to do it as early as possible, and it ends up that when the end of the regular season happens, these coaching changes happen, and then there's kind of an awkward period for another 3 weeks or so.
Yeah, so I mean, I understand the timing. I think there was something about Justin Wilcox maybe being named interim coach, and it's still unclear whether he's going to follow Sark to USC.
Softy reported that.
I saw not too long ago on Twitter that he's going with Sark.
It seemed to be the conversation on Twitter. I was thinking that maybe Justin Wilcox just wanted to make sure that he got something out of the situation. So he accepted that, but if you were offered the head coaching job at UW. But first, speaking of dream jobs, we have to talk about Jim Mora.
I mean, I think we have to.
Jimmy L. Mora.
Nobody else has declared their interest in the Husky head coaching job while coaching an NFL team. That's only Jim L. Mora.
And he's here right now, right? In town?
Oh, really?
That's what I saw on Twitter. People were saying, like, just don't let him leave.
Shut down the airport. I think that the Huskies, I mean, personally, right? So the main options, and we'll talk about all three of them, are Jim Mora, Justin Wilcox, current defensive coordinator, and Chris Peterson, current head coach of Boise State. Starting with Jim Mora, I am all in on Jim Mora. He is 100% who I want as the coach.
And obviously Chris agrees with you.
Yes. I know. I wish he was with the Seahawks longer.
Yeah,
I mean, we got Pete Carroll, but I always wanted him to get a better shot than just 1 year, you know?
So one year? Well, he did enough damage in 1 year. He tried to cut Olindo Mare after a game, despite Olindo Mare being one of the best kickers in the NFL. He's too emotional. Like, maybe you can get away with that in college. Maybe. Because of the fact that you're dealing with it on a different level. But nothing I saw from Jim Mora in his year at the helm of the Seahawks indicated that he has any understanding of advanced analytics or any development in the game that's happened since, I don't know, maybe 1985
or so. Do you kind of think that Pete Carroll is the same way in a lot of ways, though?
No, I think that Pete Carroll has an established philosophy, but if you look at, like, the evolution of the offense last year, it was a complete 180 over the course of the season to adapt to players' talents, which we never saw from Jim Mora. He's very aggressive in going for it on fourth down, which is probably the single most important application of analytics for a head coach on game day. So, no, I don't agree with that at all.
Okay.
I mean, you know, obviously Mora is a very good recruiter and would just clean up.
Jim Mora, he
would put a fence around the state of Washington if you had
the
Jim
Northwest.
Mora. That
Miles
is, I think,
Jack,
the strongest.
Let's say that they had Jim Mora a year ago. Miles Jack would be a Husky right now.
Without question.
Jim Mora is an excellent recruiter. He's got the perfect makeup of a really good college coach. Right? Good college coaches typically have coached in the NFL and had some sort of success there. They've got a good name, and they're at a place that they really understand. Jim Mora understands the
Northwest.
Players
like him.
And players really like Jim Mora. Sometimes he's a little bit emotional with players, but I think when they had the player who died early in the year, Jim Mora really rallied that team.
No, I think he handled that perfectly. But I think that's it, is we haven't seen him coach a team over a long period of time. Now, obviously, that may be the case with a lot of candidates, so I'm not saying you should necessarily even put him below, you know, Wilcox, we've never seen in a head coaching situation. But that's why I still have some concerns about him, you know.
Do you not want Jim Mora as the coach? Would you be disappointed? Let's say on Wednesday they announced that Jim Mora has accepted the UW job.
I would be less excited than everyone else. I don't know if I would be disappointed. That's a bit strong.
So also, what do you think his interest will be?
I don't know. I mean, that's the weird question. It's kind of in many ways similar to the Sark situation where, you know, he's building his own thing, but this is his dream job, and it means moving within conference. Now, it's not as clearly a step up, I think, as Washington is to USC. So that's where it's an interesting question. I don't
he
know.
He looked pretty happy on the sidelines, you know, with UCLA.
That's true.
They were playing Washington.
We're less than 48 hours away from them declaring ownership of LA after that win.
It's true, but Coach Sark never said, quote, "This is my dream job." Kevin just ran away. Got distracted for a second.
The phone is ringing. Did you not hear that?
What phone was that?
That's my bat phone. That is the bat phone.
Your radio phone? Is ESPN Hawaii calling you right now?
I did not tell them to call, so I don't know why they are.
You're missing a radio.
Someone wants you on the radio to talk about Sark.
They saw the blog post I put
That's
out.
That's true. Anyway, Jim Mora declared that this was his dream job. He said that even if the Atlanta Falcons, an NFL team, were in a playoff race, he would accept the UW job if offered.
I mean, do you feel like his feelings have changed at all based on the time he did try to coach here with Seattle and how poorly that ended?
It's totally, you know, that's the NFL.
Yeah.
It was
a
different
situation.
He got
left with a really, you know,
the Seahawks
banged up Seahawks.
And they were in a bad situation the year that Jim Mora was the coach. I mean, I wasn't happy with him as the Seahawks coach. And obviously, I'm very happy with Pete Carroll. But Mike Holmgren's last season was not a great season either.
But Pete Carroll managed to go 7-9 and completely overhaul the roster in one season. So
that's only winning three more games than Jim Mora did.
It's not Jim Mora's fault that the Seahawks were so bad, but he didn't. He wasn't not a part of it.
But I don't think that's changed his perspective. I don't see why. Coaching the Seahawks and coaching the Huskies are different. He never said that the Seahawks, that coaching the Seattle Seahawks was his dream job.
But he took that position when he could have potentially taken the UW job in 2009 if he had waited.
Do you think that those two were both offered at the same time, or he was just taking the guaranteed job versus taking something that could have
happened?
I think
he thought he could have been with the Seahawks for more than 1 year, maybe a couple. And maybe eventually just going from there straight to the UW job.
Which is kind of a dream, I feel like. Let's say Pete Carroll wins 5 Super Bowls and then decides he wants to retire a college coach.
I'm still curious why Pete Carroll can't do both jobs. There's a lot of hours in the day.
I think the Seahawks need to go. I think the Huskies need to go all in on Jim Mora. They need to come out with a big offer. They need to outpay what UCLA is potentially willing to pay for him, and they need to really make an aggressive move for Jim Mora. Even having conversations with somebody like Chris Peterson, I think, is the wrong thing to do. They need to say, we only have one target on our list, and that's Jim Mora. And I think that it would be an upgrade over Coach Sark in a lot of ways.
I mean, if you strike out, though, there, how much more of a disappointment is it if you've put all your eggs in that basket?
You know what? He's got the potential. You have to take the risk, I suppose. But he's got the potential of coaching UW not for the next 5 years, but forever. If he's successful at UW, Jim Mora will be the UW coach until he dies.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to leave for something else. You know, this is destination job for him, which I think there's a lot to be said for that. Now, do you feel like it would be that would be the case with Chris Peterson if somehow you talked him out of Boise State?
I was wondering, if you clearly are not that excited about Jim Mora, who do you want between Chris Peterson and, I guess, Justin Wilcox, or question mark?
I mean, I think Chris Peterson, because of his consistent track record of success. That doesn't always translate when you leave a school like Boise State. I mean, obviously it didn't for Dan Hawkins, his predecessor, and who flamed out at Colorado, but
He didn't have the history of success.
No, that's the difference, and that's why I think he would be very successful.
I have a lot of question marks with Chris Peterson, really. First, will he even actually consider the job? I mean, it was reported that he basically turned down USC. I mean, it makes him a little bit more appealing because USC was even considering him. But I think that Chris Peterson's done a lot of work playing against weak opponents and dealing with kind of the muck of recruiting. He's very good at finding gems within the players that nobody is that excited about. But is he capable of going out and recruiting elite-level players, which is what you have to do here?
It's a different thing, but he's still going to be mining the same kind of recruiting area as he already has been. He's going to still have those ties in place with coaches. And if you can marry getting enough top-tier prospects, 4- and 5-star guys, with also hitting on those 3-star guys that everybody has to take, that, you know, you'd have passed on Kellen Moore and Boise State took him, that's when I think you could potentially...
When would Kellen Moore have started at UW? Over Jake Locker or Keith Price? Who would he have started over?
All right, that's a valid argument, but I think that Kellen Moore was a better college quarterback than Jake Locker. That's a discussion, debate for another day.
God.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably was a better college quarterback, but we still wouldn't have started over Jake Locker. He was a better college quarterback playing against Montana. I don't know.
I don't know. I thought he looked pretty good in the BCS game.
San Jose State. Anyway, irrelevant of that. The other question is, does Chris Peterson have a name that comes with him also? I mean, being the head coach at Boise State and going to BCS games is impressive, but does he have the kind of name that Jim Mora has?
No. I mean, I had to ask you guys who he was. So.
Yeah.
You know,
Jim Mora coached Michael Vick.
I think we can agree that Jim Mora should be the number one candidate. I will agree with you on that. But I don't think that if your choice is Chris Peterson or anyone else, I don't see who else is a reasonable candidate that would come to UW that is a better candidate than Chris Peterson. I would rather have him than Justin Wilcox, as good as Justin Wilcox has been as a defensive coordinator.
You're saying if Jim Mora turns down the job outright, you're next in line to be Chris Peterson. He's number two.
Yeah, and one of the interesting concerns that was raised on Twitter today is whether Wilcox is really the right fit because he's not... He's not the kind of guy who's glad-handing and doing the booster things that a head coach has to do. He's really someone who just wants to coach defense, and that's pretty much it. So that's a potential roadblock with him as a head coach.
Well, he is a defensive coordinator.
Does he even want to be a head coach?
He does want to be a head coach, reportedly, and has talked to teams. But also, he's a defensive coordinator right now. No one's expecting him to do that, you know? You're saying that maybe you would like him to learn that somewhere else and then come to a bigger school like UW?
Yeah, I mean, I think that just can be an issue. Like, it was with Chip Kelly at Oregon. Supposedly, you know, Oregon boosters were...
Oh, I
mean,
I would hate to have Chip Kelly.
There was some
Chip Kelly's tenure at Oregon?
There was some sour grapes there, but Oregon fans were not unanimous... Boosters were not unanimously upset about Chip Kelly's departure because of the fact that he
was... Yeah, I bet they're pretty upset about it now.
Well...
When they were losing to Arizona, I think they were wishing that they had Chip Kelly.
And that came from my friend Todd Divas, who covered the program all of last season and the first half of this season before switching over to the Seahawks beat. So.
Before switching over. Before Oregon lost games. Was he there when they lost to Stanford?
No. That was the Wilcox observation.
Oh, okay.
That was a story in one of the papers last year about Chip Kelly. And it was basically, it was kind of a little sour grapes, like, everyone knows that Chip Kelly's going to the NFL, so we're going to plant this, like, here's why it's not actually such a bad thing. We don't really like this guy anyway.
Yeah.
Which you see now with UW, like, oh, we wanted to fire Sark anyway. Like, good riddance.
Is whatever bowl game we go to, is it less important now?
I don't know. It sort of depends what happens. If we poach a coach from another school and it's their first game, then I suppose it's really important. As far as establishing something for recruits.
Is there a potential that Jim Mora could coach that game if he were to come here? I'm all in on Jim Mora.
I mean, in theory.
That's what I'm confused about. It's like,
if Sark's going to coach the USC game, right? I mean, I don't know. Is Orgeron going to coach? I don't know.
Because I thought, you know, it would... And that's just weird. You're going to bring in a new coach just for one game, the bowl game, or you let them finish the season at the school that they're at?
There was some talk about Wilcox being the interim coach for that game, but I don't know if that was just idle speculation. And now the Twitter tone, Adam Jude, the new Seattle Times beat writer, just noted that the players told him that he was bringing all the staff.
And he's immediately leaving? Like, he's gone now? Or
he's actually driving Noah Sark, his boat, all the way down to, I think, he'll land on Long Beach and then... Head inland from there.
He might be saying right now that he's bringing all his staff, but that might be wishful thinking also. I mean, you know, is he going to bring Tasha LuPoy if he gets offered a defensive coordinator job? Is he going to bring Justin Wilcox if he gets offered a head coaching job?
Yeah, I mean, but this is, you know, he's been able to offer them all those positions to start with, and that, I think, is relatively uncommon in this kind of situation.
So, Pat Hayden was lying when they said that they wanted Ed Orgeron involved in some capacity.
Oh, some capacity. There's a lot of...
It could mean a lot of things.
But let's be clear. Everyone is lying. That's what we've learned today.
Sure.
About the week that was new information.
Yeah, nobody
everyone is lying.
Tells the truth when it comes to these situations.
It's true.
Never.
People really faulted Rick Neuheisel for lying about interviewing with...
San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, the 49ers. It's like, I mean, honestly, how can you care about that? All you care about is having them as your coach. Lying to the general public does not matter.
I don't know. I mean, I think that there's some
people don't like it, but it's like people forget that everyone does it.
Yes.
Every time someone lies, they're like, oh, thanks a lot for your loyalty and all this, but it's like... Everyone does it. You should expect it.
But on the rare occasions you find someone who is not lying and is
another
like
crappy coach.
Tyrone Williams never lied about the other jobs he was interviewing for. God bless him.
But no, what's worse? So Pete Carroll leaves. We all love Pete Carroll, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pete Carroll leaves USC right before they're having massive sanctions handed down. He sets them up, wins these games with players who are ineligible, then brings upon huge sanctions and comes here. Isn't that a lot worse than lying for one day?
Well, he could have been in protest about the sanctions as Don James' retirement was. As you know, I will defend Pete Carroll for anything, but yes, it's a valid argument.
But we're not like, oh, Pete Carroll left USC in the lurch. Who cares?
Well, Sark is the only coach to leave UW voluntarily.
Since 1956.
Yes.
Daryl Royal when he went
not
to Texas.
Not including retirements.
Wow. So then Justin Wilcox as the final potential option. Pros and cons for Justin Wilcox? Because I think he's probably my number two choice.
Well, the pro is that the defense has been really amazing this year. This is part of what I looked at in my blog post, but it's actually rates as a better defense this year than the 2000 Rose Bowl champion defense. So.
Well, the defense suffer if he's the head coach and he's not able to focus all of his attention on the defense.
I don't know. I still think that there's, you know, like, coaches are so identified with whatever is their stronger area. So, like, Sarkisian was basically UW's offensive coordinator throughout his time here.
Quarterback's coach.
And then Pete Carroll, you know, has consistently had elite defenses. And it turns out Nick Holt was not a part of that at USC.
Yeah.
Not involved at all.
Well, your chances
I'm not surprised.
Keeping the rest of the defensive staff around is probably much higher if you have Justin Wilcox. Right now, Tosh Lupoy is defensive line coach.
Yes.
Peter Sermon is
linebacker's
coach.
Peter Sermon is best friends with Wilcox, dating back to their playing days at Oregon.
So you,
yeah, he'll
you
go
would assume
Wilcox
that
goes.
Peter Sermon would move up to defensive coordinator in that situation.
Yeah.
And Tosh Lupoy could potentially move up to some sort of more prominent role. Right? It's defensive, like assistant defensive coordinator, something like that.
Sure.
Some sort of more prominent role. So you potentially keep them around, and I think your chances of keeping recruits around, particularly the defensive side of the ball, is a little bit higher there. And maybe recruits in general, because Lupoy and Wilcox are both known as good recruiters.
I don't know how, that's an interesting side question. How important is preserving this recruiting class versus getting the right guy in place for the next 10 years?
That's what I'm not that concerned about, and that's why I'd rather have Jim Mora. But Jim Mora potentially would bring some UCLA commits with him here.
Yeah.
It could just be a swap. And our chances of getting somebody like Buda Baker become almost 100%. If right now he's deciding between UCLA and UW, and that seems to be the conversation for all intents and purposes, and Jim Mora owns Bellevue.
At least in our mind it is.
He's coming to UW. So you mean you get the best recruit in the state with Jim Mora, and also you potentially get some UCLA recruits without maybe losing some folks that Wilcox and Lupoy have recruited.
Yeah.
But I do think the concern about... So if Chris Peterson and Jim Mora, if they're successful, they're going to stick around here forever.
Yeah.
Justin Wilcox is somebody who might just be looking for, you know, another like 5 to 10 year coaching experience type job.
I know, he's a Northwest guy, so I think the same thing. I think there'd be like one job that would interest him.
Oregon.
Which is Oregon, yeah. Which if you know coach left for Oregon, we might have to just end the program right then and there.
I don't want that.
Okay, so really quick to wrap things up, who do you want and chances of getting them? Start with you.
Jim Mora, I don't... it's hard to say the chances because I think he's like really getting into UCLA and he's like, you know, liking it there, it appears, but I guess you never know. This is supposed to be his dream job here, so I want to say like 70%.
So wow.
Oh, man.
See, I was thinking like 1 in 3. I guess you guys have kind of talked me into Jim Mora. You know, I'll just try to hope that we hire an analytically inclined coordinator or something.
Chances?
I said 1 in 3.
1 in 3. I think it's probably 50-50, but I'll also want Jim Mora, but I think it's a 50-50 chance. He either wants to come to UW or he doesn't.
It's good that we're such a statistical podcast. Yes. There's two options. It's 1 in 2. And either they want him or they don't. So it's 50-50 whether they decide to hire him.
Well, we may have another update later on this week. We don't know.
Yeah. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening.
Go Hawks.
Bye.